Let's go to Blake Stubbs, Blockbuster Blake. Happy Friday, Blake.
Happy Friday, John. How you doing?
Good, and I've always said this last week, but y'all don't know Blake too well, but I do, and I can tell you no one was better prepared for a quarantine than Blake. He's lived on video games and watching TV for a long time, and Blake, you're I don't want to say you're in paradise because, you know, you're still working and all that stuff, but you were ready for this, man.
I was. I think I've just been predisposed many, many years of enjoying my leisure time, I guess you could say, on the cheap, just playing some games and hanging out. And now I'm being told that's what I'm, in order for me to do my part, that's what I need to be doing. So, you know what? I will happily oblige.
It's finally paying off. Hey, Blake, by the way, we're asking people tonight who their heroes are. So do you got anyone you want to give a shout out to?
You know, I come from a family of civil servants, firefighters, nurses, et cetera, and several of them have been transitioning to different roles with the ongoing, you know, crisis, I guess, that we're all dealing with. Some of us are staying home. Some of us are still having to go to work. I know I'm not saying anything new here, but I think it is important to give as much recognition as possible. I have a couple of cousins that work in ERs that have been doing more than their fair share, working extra long hours, and I wish them the absolute best, and I want to give them a shout out in this, you know, very different and unprecedented time. And I know that they love their job. They wouldn't be doing anything else in this time, but at the same time, you know, just stay safe, stay healthy, and do what they can. I love them to death. So.
Amen. There's no great transition to this, but what the heck is Tiger King?
Oh, boy. So, Tiger King. Well, look.
Like, this is what everybody's kind of talking about, but I have no... I watched the trailer on Netflix, and I still didn't know what it was about.
Right. So, I want to lead off by saying that the trailer, while an interesting introduction, really only covers about 20% of what's going on by the time you finish episode two. For contextual purposes, the trailer gives you, like, this very focused understanding of how there's this eccentric guy who owns a bunch of animals, their exotic pets, think tigers, monkeys, bears, etc., and owns like a private zoo. Well, turns out there's quite a few of those types of people across the country. And there are also activists who do not want them to be able to profit off of these animals. Specifically the breeding and the early, very early age, like petting zoo type setting with tigers specifically, and from there on it just sort of branches out, and while the trailer makes you think it's really about one person, it really branches between a feud that's going on between him and an activist, but there's also other private owners that are being brought in, and you get a glimpse at how eccentric and odd their lives are. Cult style living is brought up multiple times. It goes down some rabbit holes, and if you're wondering, because, you know, you're like John, and you're like, well, why would I watch this? This sounds really bizarre and crazy. It is bizarre. It is a little crazy. But I know that a lot of people love listening to things like Serial, which is, I believe, This American Life produces the podcast Serial. They've done multiple series of it with different cases. In the case of This American Life, they also produced a series called S-Town. And S-Town stands for something else.
Oh, that was
profane,
so good.
S-Town was excellent. It was very rich storytelling that kind of evolved as things went on. It was also told non-linearly. This Tiger King documentary series, and I'm only two episodes in, but trust me, if I would have sat, I would have forgot about joining you on WGN, and I would be probably halfway through episode four right now, and I wouldn't stop until I finished it. It's built sort of in the same way that S-Town was. And it keeps you coming back for more. You want to figure out more about all these characters. You're obviously making different assumptions because you kind of think these people, like, there's a specific set of bad people and then there's a specific set of good people, but there's a lot of gray between all of them. And I don't know that there's any one person I actually like when I see anyone being interviewed, other than a few people who are pretty blunt and open about, you know, why they're working the jobs they're working, you know, what their experiences were like, because they kind of left the life behind and they don't have anything to do with it anymore. And you just look at it from the standpoint of, if you want to see something that's going to take you out of your comfort zone, it's not going to be your typical procedural. It's very much a documentary style series. this is definitely worth the hype, and I'm saying that after only seeing two episodes and eagerly awaiting watching more.
Tiger King, so, Murder, Tiger King, Murder, Mayhem, and Madness. Yeah, there's sort of like a curve to this where if it's still like no one has watched it yet or it's just starting to gain traction, mm-hmm. I always love to jump on it, and then I'm such a contrarian that once it reaches its apex on the internet, I'm like, oh, I don't want to watch that now. It's going to be overhyped, but you're saying that this one matches it.
Knowing you as I do, John, as we like to point out, we are good friends off air. This is straight up your alley. This, and I say this in that it's wild, it's funny in how dark some of the like black comedy humor style, but at the same time, you get a lot of just bizarre characters that you're like, if these are real people, these are some of the wildest, most eccentric. I've never met anyone like these people. You just haven't. There's no way.
Yeah.
And the fact that they might really exist, you're just sitting there puzzled.
Yeah.
Because then you're going to go down a rabbit hole. You know, you're going to leave the episodes behind and start digging up more information on each and every person. For example, one of the private zoo owners used to work with Jack Hanna and would be featured on late night television, bringing animals on when Jack Hanna would do his regular visits to like Letterman and Leno, et cetera. But now he owns his own private sort of compound with his own set of, you know, handlers and people that work for him that he might have romantic relationships with. Okay, he definitely does. Like within 5 minutes, you know that he does. And it goes even deeper with like someone who was a drug kingpin who just loves animals and was buying up exotic animals, and he keeps them in a very private, no public allowed compound. It goes, and they all know each other. That's the crazy thing.
Okay.
Everybody in this little network knows each other. So there's a lot to absorb as you're watching this. And it's very engaging. It's very good content to watch, especially now. You know, if you're stuck at home, you're getting a little bored, trust me, this is going to liven things up.
For you. Yeah, all right. 312-917-200. What are you binging online? And we talked about this a couple days ago, had some great suggestions. Let us know. Blake may have seen it, may not have seen it, or maybe you're binging something old-timey. Yeah, we had a lot of those texts, too. Blake, we're going to talk about a few more of those after the break here on WGN. John Hanson here until 10 o'clock, joined by Blockbuster Blake Stubbs, talking about what's your binging? 312-981-7200. What are you watching that you want to make others aware of? Is it something unusual? Is it something new? Something old and comfortable? Blake, we had someone message us the other night or give us a call that they were watching Little House on the Prairie, and it was filling them just with the comfort of the old show.
I was going to say, things like that are an excellent sort of dive back into the old nostalgia, what you watched when you were younger, especially if, you know, you're not going outside as much. You know, weather's a little wild at this point in the year, and, you know, temperatures are kind of up and down. And so if you don't, you know, get out much to go for your daily walk or go to the gym as often, and you want to watch something that helps transport you to a much happier, easier to look at time.
Yeah.
With a lot more vibrant color, something like a Little House is an excellent choice, especially if it was something you grew up watching. I mean,
yes.
I know that's a big one for my parents, and of course I've seen episodes of it. So, you know, I think that's a wonderful suggestion, actually.
Do you think that's why I love watching The West Wing, or why some people just keep on watching The Office during this time? It's just like, it's predictable because I've already seen it. There's order to it. I know what's coming next, but I still can't wait to watch it, and it just makes you feel okay.
I would agree with that 100%. I treat it more like the easiest way to compare it to something is like comfort food, except it's completely on demand. You don't have to wait for it. You don't really have to prepare it. You can just put it on and relax and be transported back to being around the characters you know and love. The Office is obviously a big one for a lot of people. The West Wing is a big one for me as well. I love Frasier. Frasier is a comfort show for me. So, you know, I think that if you're under, you know, your self-imposed shelter-in-place sort of lifestyle right now, and you're taking it very seriously, and you want to kind of branch out, try to revisit something you know and love, because I think it'll help you sort of acclimate and relax and forget about, you know, whatever is troubling you at the moment.
It's amazing. Go ahead, Blake. Sorry.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, John.
I was just going to say, it's amazing that as I watch things now, and it's only been like, what, 2 or 3 weeks of this reality that we're now living, if I see people holding hands or kissing or being in a group, I almost want to yell into the TV to, no, 6 feet.
6 feet, social distance, social distance.
And I don't mean that as a joke. It actually has triggered me. And I'm like, whoa, wait. I just saw a commercial as you were talking of a bunch of people gathering at the Bean here in downtown Chicago. I'm like, no, you can't. Well, like, that's right. Never mind. It was taped well before this. It's strange how in no time we have all adjusted. Or at least I have. And even now seeing that makes me go, oh, don't do that.
Right, and I think a big part of that, though, is, you know, you're talking about it with your friends, you're video conferencing, you're keeping very in touch with your circle, you know, the people that are around you on a regular basis, except now, and that's part of the acclimation. But when you watch things like, I don't know, watch When Harry Met Sally, right? Mm-hmm. The whole movie is about interpersonal interactions and the foibles that go along with it and the comedy and everything. And then by the end of it, they're at this big New Year's Eve party at the end. And you're just like, no, everyone is breaking all the rules right now, and I can't. I don't want it to cause anyone anxiety mm-hmm. when I recommend anything that anyone watch. But I think that if you do pick something, try to pick stuff that's in your comfort food sort of thought process right now, where it's like, you know, if fried chicken and mashed potatoes and gravy is what I want, that's going to make me feel better. Treat it the same way when you're picking something to watch. And I mean, sure, watch stuff that you've never seen before. You know, maybe now's the time to do that. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm trying to do, at least. I'm trying to branch out. And if homework, as you and I always talk about, comes my way, this is the perfect time for me to try to explore it and see if I like it. And I just wanted to mention this. For RogerEbert.com, Brian Flerick, who's a Chicago film critic, I greatly enjoy his work. He compiled a list, and it's on RogerEbert.com. You can look this up. It's under the Baldurin Dash like blog section. Basically, all of Roger Ebert's great movies, the great movies list. That, you know, if you ever wanted to dive in and watch something that you've never seen before, there's definitely something in that list. What this list is it shows you where it's all streaming and how you can get a hold of it. Now, I'm going to post on Twitter about this, and I'm going to tag Brian because I loved what he did here. If you're looking for it, you can follow me at Blake Stubbs, and as soon as I'm off the air, I'll post a link, and hopefully you can check that out. But you're talking Hulu, Netflix, Criterion, just everything you could think of channel-wise, because, John, as you know, there's a streaming channel for everything.
Yes.
Now. And you can maybe try out a free trial and check out a movie that, I don't know, maybe you've heard about for a long time and never thought, oh, you know what? I'll give that a shot.
Right. Hey,
That's just a good recommendation, I think. Right?
At Blake Stubbs, and that's with two Bs. 224 chimed in saying, I'm 52 and I'm binge watching Laverne and Shirley because I remember it from years ago and I still love it.
Absolutely. Nick at Night. And I remember first encountering that show on Nick at Night when I was younger. And very funny show, full of great comedic actors. I know that if you want to go down the rabbit hole a little further with the talent on the show, you can look up movies directed, you know, by Penny Marshall, who is one of the stars of the show, and find yourself watching things like A League of Their Own, big, you know, Tom Hanks movies that everybody loves. And he's, you know, endured his little bout with coronavirus. So, you know, once you watch one thing, try to find something else that the people who made it were involved in, and you might find yourself just packed with content.
Yeah, I love that idea of, like, going down the thread. If you liked one reason, there's a reason why you liked it, and there's a thread from Laverne and Shirley all the way to League of Their Own, and enjoy it through that sort of pathway, too. 630 says, my husband, college-age daughter, and I watched Troop Zero on Amazon Prime. People need to stop sleeping on this movie. It was heartwarming, honest, and raw, a movie that people should see. I gotta admit, I never heard of Troop Zero.
This was an Amazon exclusive that, to my understanding, had a very limited, if at all, theatrical release. You know, your New York LA release, and then it went right to the streaming platform. So this Allison Janney is in this. The trailer, and Jim Gaffigan. The trailer for this looks very, very, very whimsical and funny, and sort of it'll be a little bit different than a lot of the procedural stuff that you're seeing heavily marketed. This had a very short window, I think, when it was marketed, and then it went right to the Amazon platform. I would also like to point out that one of my favorite actresses, outside of Allison Janney, but Viola Davis is in this as well. Mm. So this has got a packed cast of talent. A lot of great child actors are involved in this. It takes place in rural 1977 Georgia. So, you know, again, if you're looking for one of those, you know, movies that kind of takes you back a little to a different time, that's an excellent suggestion, and it's readily available if you have Amazon Prime.
630 says, Blake, we've been watching Contagion and Outbreak multiple times over the past few weeks. Some people that just don't want to break, apparently.
No, you know, and honestly, both are good films. I was a big fan of Soderbergh's Contagion. I think it's got one of the best ensembles of 2011, as far as, you know, when the movie came out. It's also one of those things that kind of deals with a lot of the incredible flash hardships of dealing with a global pandemic. Now, obviously, the pandemic, the virus in the film is much more rapidly lethal than the one we are dealing with as a society right now. But, you know, if you want to deal with the type of movie that is going to give you a little bit of a scare, a movie that wasn't really designed to scare people is probably more prescient in that horror realm now than it ever has been before. It was supposed to be a very, you know, thriller-oriented drama with a Steven Soderbergh twist to it. And the guy doesn't really make bad movies. He knows what he's doing. So I think Contagion, if you haven't seen it, I feel like I'm mentioning it every time I'm on the air with you guys right now, but it's a good movie, and it's readily available. I think it's available right now via Cinemax, or if you want to rent it for like $4 on Prime.
That's awesome.
So there you go.
312-981-7200. What are you binging? What's getting you through this? And we're still taking all your heroes, too. 312-981-7200. Now, I watched a documentary last Friday night after I did this shift. I didn't get home till like 11:30 or so. And boy, I had a couple beers before I started it, so I'm not even remembering the title. But if you like documentaries and you like nature ones, I found that so many of them now use a lot of the same footage. I think that whoever shot all this stuff, maybe it was National Geographic or a lot, they kind of repurpose a lot of content and repackage it in different ways. It's all gorgeous stuff, but some of the stuff you see for Planet Earth is reused in, you know, jungles of Africa, and it's a lot of similar stuff. So, and I've seen them all. There was this one about filming nature at night. There's these new cameras that use, I don't know if it's like infrared or how they use it, that just show in stunning, almost looks like color, because you know the old way of shooting night film was either to shine light at stuff, or it looks kind of, I don't know, it looks black and white sort of the way they do it. This is beautiful. I think it's in 4K on Netflix. I forget what it's called, but I was watching the African safari in the middle of the night, things that no one has ever seen before happen, and it was so cool.
It's called Night on Earth.
Hey!
If you're curious what it is. Yeah, Netflix has this. It's called Night on Earth. And there's footage in there that you look at and you think, oh, they didn't shoot that at like dawn? No, it's meant to be captured when we typically have never been able to have cameras running without, obviously, you know, ruining the naturalistic element of how it's just capturing nature in its natural habitat. So, yeah, Night on Earth. They just released it. It's a limited series.
Yeah,
recently. So you're looking at multiple episodes. They got all kinds of different locations that they've gone to. It looks like there's about 6 episodes that you can check out.
Mm-hmm.
So Night on Earth. Yeah, on Netflix. It's available on Netflix.
Yeah, I got through a couple of the episodes. And again, I had a couple, so it's a little blurry at some point. Plus, I was eating Triscuits and Wheat Thins and cheese. And when Pete's clapping and the producer, I've been talking about it all week long, my obsession for making a bunch of little mini sandwiches using cheese and Triscuits. But I was in my element. But it's a really cool, and it's also great to like kind of pass the time. Before we take a break, Blake, and I'm going to keep you on a little bit longer if you don't mind. 773, this is a good one. Two of them. I watch The Wonder Years when I want peace of mind, or King of the Hill on Hulu.
Very good picks, especially because you got multiple seasons. You got rich character development over the course of the Wonder Years. I think everybody had a real emotional response when that show finished its run. As I recall, it had a solid ending. It wasn't one of those where people like, oh, that's, you know, because we love to complain about how shows end, because we really deep down, we all want more.
Right.
But at the same time, then you got King of the Hill, which is one of Mike Judge's opus, you know, type of productions that honestly, you can throw any episode of that on and I'm going to laugh at something in it. And I know that some of the humor now, because it's been off the air for so long, is, you know, dated, but it doesn't matter because we lived through it. So, yeah, I would highly recommend it. In fact, I've recently seen a meme of the King of the Hill, the crew, you know, Hank and the boys, except they were drawn and photoshopped to be social distancing.
Yes, out on the lawn.
Hey, keeping it with the times, you know what I mean? Like, at least the humor can evolve as we go. But both are very good choices, especially if you want something on in the background and you know you've seen the shows.
Yeah.
It just helps pass the time, and you know, you can – you can enjoy it because, again, it's readily available. And Hulu, I believe, yeah, Hulu has both shows.
I loved when I watched Wonder Years as a kid. Of course, you identify with Fred Savage's character and their struggles. And I thought that Dan Loria was the evil dad and so mean. And I watch it again. And not that I'm a dad now, but of that age, I'm like, oh, no, the dad was right a lot of the times, as it turns out.
Absolutely. Well, and that's the thing. I mean, now in our older age, we're like, yeah, you know what? He had a point.
Yeah.
He had a point, but you didn't want to admit it when you were younger.
You know what else?
No way.
Yeah, I think I've told this theory to you, Blake, and I know I got to go to a break, but I love the movie What About Bob? And when I watched that movie growing up, I was on Bill Murray's side. Like, be nice to the guy. He's just trying to do this. Dr. Leo Marvin was absolutely correct. That was insane for him to visit. Until the end when he went a little crazy, the doctor, he was absolutely right. His family are the crazy people.
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
And, the problem that I have with What About Bob is I think it was kind of a misfire of a movie, but the performances of both Dreyfuss and Murray together, interesting pairing, and at the same time, their chemistry is just beyond hilarious. Plus, I believe Jane Haggerty's in the movie, and I love Jane Haggerty, so I'll watch anything that she's in.
Well, I met her at the Critics' Choice Awards this year on the blue carpet, and I gave her my theory, and she looked at me like I was an idiot. And why was I bringing up What About Bob? It was the most embarrassing moment. I had never worked a red carpet before. Rest of the interviews went great. I knew her from Airplane. I knew her from What About Bob. And I brought it up, and she just was like, okay, and walked away.
And then the ball was dropped. Nice going, John.
And deservedly so. She was so sweet until that moment I asked her about my theory of What About Bob. Anyways, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and then Blake's got a couple cool things he's been binging on that you might want to check out on WGN. John Hanson here until 10 o'clock. Thank you so much for spending your Friday night with us. I hope you've had a good week out there, folks. I know it's been rough, and I really appreciate everyone who's joined this week and joined the conversation. We've had an okay time, I'd say, getting through it, despite everything that's happening in the world, and I really appreciate it. Next week, what's going to be happening, Mark Carmen is here on Monday, and then I'll be here Tuesday through Friday filling in the rest of the week. So you can enjoy Mark, of course, on Monday. Always does an incredible job. And then I'll be back Tuesday, and then through the rest of the week. I'm on my phone right now, and the reason I am is because Pat McGann, who is a friend of a lot of us here at WGN, is so funny this week on Instagram. He's a comedian here, a Chicago guy. He toured with Sebastian Maniscalco, and he has done such a funny job doing stand-up for his children and how little they like it. He does, like, pop-up shows. So he'll go from the kitchen, and he will turn off the television that his kids are watching. They immediately groan, and he does a one-minute stand-up bit about living in this quarantine life, and it is really, really funny. So if you don't follow Pat McGann, I know a lot of you know him and hear him, but he's really good on Twitter too. Pat McGann, and now I just can't even find his page, of course, but Pat McGann is killing it, so that's a great thing. Blake, I think, I don't know if you know Pat or have heard him, it's McGann _ Pat. Dude's got 12,000 followers, but literally he has like 9 posts that are just him doing pop-up stand-up at home, and it's really, really funny.
He is a very funny guy who's clearly fearless if he's just going to turn off the television on his kids and start doing riffs right there in the living room.
Right. Hey,
he's a very funny man and worth following, absolutely, on Instagram.
And it's such a great, he's such a Chicago comedian and uses Chicago in his humor so much. It's just so nice. All right. We're talking about things you can binge out there that are happening. 630 texting in, Ozark season 3 just released. That is on my list. I cannot wait. You an Ozark guy, Blake?
I have not watched Ozark yet. I believe we talked about this last week. I've been doubling up on certain things, and I've got really disorganized midweek this week, and I'm finally like streamlining everything. So I'm finishing right now. I'm going to finish watching The Outsider. I've got like 3 episodes left of that. Ozark was going to be next, but then Tiger King has just slipped in there. But Tiger King's very short, so I should be able to fly through that pretty quickly, as wild and crazy kids as it is. But then once I'm done with that, I'm going to try to get back on watching certain things on the Criterion Collection, which I'm trying to like fly through via the Criterion Channel. I just watched Police Story and Police Story 2, Jackie Chan's 80s Hong Kong action extravaganzas. And boy, if you've never seen those, And you know Jackie Chan is an excellent, you know, stuntman and martial artist and then kung fu film, superstar. He is. He's superstar is the one word I can come up with. You have to see Police Story 1 and 2 because he directed those as well as acted and stunt coordinated the films. And it's some of the best action comedy filmmaking I've ever seen. There's a whole scene with him and multiple phones that you're going to be in stitches just watching it.
That's so great. 708. And what was it? Where can you watch that again?
The Jackie Chan Police Story films you can see on the Criterion channel, which I believe they're running a short-term free trial.
That's cool. 708 says, I'm a huge West Wing fan and binge-watched over the last couple of days. What else can I look at that will give me the same satisfaction in terms of writing and character development? And immediately I go to other Aaron Sorkin work because obviously that's who wrote the first four seasons. I think Sports Night was probably Sorkin's other best work. I know a lot of people love Newsroom. It wasn't my favorite, but I know a lot of people liked it. I don't know, other political dramas. I mean, it doesn't get, for me, it's like West Wing is the pinnacle, so it's hard for me to come up with another one, but I love Sports Night.
Right. Sports Night, I think, is the next step that you want to go to. It's more of a sitcom. It's got more of a sitcom feel as opposed to a single camera style drama. But I do think that the acting on the show is razor sharp. I think the writing was outstanding. If you want to stick in that realm of how the West Wing felt in terms of its production and its character structures, maybe check out Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip.
Yeah, one
only
season.
One season.
Yeah.
It's enjoyable. I found it to be something that I've actually seen it about three times, and it's kind of the more relaxed West Wing. It feels less, it's far less politically charged, except in the comedy sense, they use that as a vehicle to write several things in the show because it's about a sort of like a Saturday Night Live parable is what it is. It's supposed to be very similar to what a Saturday Night Live behind the scenes is like, except it's in a studio, which was Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip out in California. I would recommend checking that out if you're looking for it. I mean, usually when you fall in love with a show, I always tell people, look at who the creator was and then branch out and find other things that they've done. For example, David E. Kelly has done a lot of law shows. Boston Legal is probably the one I've enjoyed the most, but I know several of these shows have been excellent. So, you know, once you just pick on or focus in on the writer, creator of the show, you're going to be able to find yourself loads of other content because it's very rare that someone only worked on one show. So, yeah, that's a good set of recommendations there, John. I think Newsroom definitely has its audience. It's probably the more divisive of the shows that Sorkin has done. But Sports Night, I don't know of anyone who dislikes Sports Night. So I highly recommend checking that one out.
Right, for sure. We had a text from, is China Beach on any streaming channel? That's from Trucker Dave. I don't even know what China Beach is. Blake, do you have any insight into what he's talking about?
Yeah, it was a show that focused on doctors in Vietnam. And I vaguely remember this. I've seen episodes of it, but it was in Da Nang. There was a group stationed in Da Nang. And as I understand it, it's not available to stream yet. The DVD box set for the whole series is quite expensive if you find a very rare version of it. It's one of those that I don't think has gotten the full treatment yet. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking for China Beach, I'm sorry to say it is not readily available unless you catch episodes of it being broadcast like through syndication on television. And that could be anywhere, honestly, at this point.
219 mentioned that The Office will be moving to another network soon in terms of streaming. I know The West Wing is doing that too to Peacock, right? Do we have any idea when that's launching and when that's going and when we're going to lose some of our favorite Netflix shows?
That's a very good question.
Because I've been hearing about it for a long time. There's been rumors of The West Wing leaving at any moment, and that's why I started watching it again, season one, episode one, and I'm almost done with it again, so I'll probably have to restart it one more time just to make sure I suck every morsel out of The West Wing that I possibly can. Also, then I would imagine Parks and Rec would be leaving soon, and that's a show that I watch. I think it's obviously that's where NBC wants to go, and that makes sense to have their own thing, especially since so many of their staples are on Netflix and they might as well make the money directly themselves. But I haven't heard any update recently about when that's going to be launching.
So the last thing I remembered reading, and I just looked it back up to confirm it, it looks like if you're an Xfinity customer, you might get an early access to it around April 15th.
Oh, wow, that's
year.
Soon.
However, July 15th is the, I guess, the tentative launch date.
Well, those so are, that's like that's like tax day, and then what they delayed tax day too. As it turns correct. Out, there you
yeah.
go.
So there you go. A little gift to yourself with your return, I guess, one way or another.
Right.
But the that's and then again, that don't take that as concrete. That's just what I was reading because I remembered I was like Peacock's going to launch, but I couldn't quite remember either when. And it's definitely mid July is the solid launch date apparently. So
all
there
right.
you go.
All right, so Blake, I want to end with one last question for you. And I know it's a sure. tough one because there's a lot out there, but I want you to pick the one thing that people should binge watch. They don't want to end this weekend at home while they have the time, that they would be remiss if they did not binge watch or watch somewhere on the internet, on their television this weekend.
Well, I'm going to assume you haven't seen it, and if you have, I'm going to say it's a great recommendation to go back through, and that's The Mandalorian on Disney Plus. The Mandalorian, I enjoyed from beginning to end, and I'm due to rewatch it here in the near future because I enjoyed it that much. They've been announcing some enticing casting news. Rosario Dawson will be playing Ahsoka Tano, who is a very very fan-loved character from the cartoons that they've been doing in between all the films over the years. They've also added Michael Biehn, who's one of my favorite action stars of the 80s. So, I mean, this show is like just being run the right way if you're a Star Wars fan. And I think that if you're not a Star Wars fan, there's so much there that you're still going to like, enjoy, and find yourself wanting to watch. And, of course, I would be remiss without saying Baby Yoda, which everyone calls him that, but his name is the child. There's a lot to draw people in and enjoy about that show. So if you want something to binge, that would be the thing I would recommend.
And Tiger King.
And Tiger King, of course, which hey, don't spoil it for me. I'm doing my best not to spoil it for anybody else other than to tell them there's way more than meets the eye based on just the trailer.
Sounds good. So, Blockbuster Blake, always good to talk with you. Give out that Twitter handle one more time.
Absolutely. You can find me on Twitter at Blake Stubbs, BLAKESTUBBS. And I just want to, again, plug that link about if you want to find Roger Ebert's great movies, check out Brian Tallarico's piece. I've already posted it. He's retweeted it himself already. So get out there, find those movies and watch them and enjoy the things Roger Ebert thought were great, because I don't think he's wrong. I got to agree with him
yeah,
on a vast majority of that list. It's a stellar list.
For sure. Blake, thanks so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Always a pleasure.